This is Jay Sekulow. Russian bombers threatening the U.S. coast.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Second time in 2 days now, Russia flying two nuclear-capable bombers off the coast of Alaska. Those bombers coming within 36 miles of the mainland.
You got to consider the propaganda and how they approach the Russian people. They cast the United States as an aggressor that's uncontrollable. And they show themselves to the Russian people and that we're attempting to control the United States' aggressions.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Well, right now, as you all know, we watch Iran's impact across the region from the militia they maintain, Lebanese Hezbollah that they support in Lebanon. Everywhere you look, if there's trouble in the region, you find Iran.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, more problems with Russia and Iran. Let's start with Russia. For the second consecutive night, that's two nights in a row, Russia has flown two long-range bombers off the coast of Alaska. These are within 36 miles, or outside of the United States by just 36 miles. We've got a picture of it up for Facebook and Periscope. So 36 miles off the mainland of Alaska while flying north of some of our islands. The two nuclear-capable aircrafts, by the way, they're called the TU-95s, were spotted by U.S. military radar. We scrambled on the first night fighter jets to determine the nature of what we were dealing with. The second night, we decided to send up the United States, under the president's leadership, decided to send up what are known as AWACS. The AWAC is a surveillance military aviation piece of equipment. I mean, it's you've seen these airplanes. They're gigantic. They have the dome on the top of them. It's designed for the purpose of finding out not just what's incoming, but who's there.
That's right. We made pictures up just a second ago on our social media. You can see them. And we do have phone lines open, and I know this is definitely going to be a hot topic that's going to happen on our social media. A lot of you guys are watching, finding out about this information. If you want your comments heard on the air, a great way to do it, call us 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110.
So you've got this going on right now, and this to me is an act of provocation. Now, there's also a domestic side to this. We talked about this in our meeting. What do you think the Russians are trying to communicate here?
I think the Russians may be doing this for their own country's sake to try and look strong. This is coming after the U.S. Launched the Tomahawk missiles into not against ISIS in Syria, but against the Russian-backed Assad regime in Syria following the chemical attack. And maybe they overplayed their hand with President Trump. They pushed too far. You got new administrations coming in. They're always open to positive relationships with everyone. But if you push too far, you back a guy using chemical weapons against his own people. In the case in Syria, things could change rapidly. But I think to point out here, what you get concerned, and this is, also applies to Iran, what happens in the Persian Gulf and with boats, is that, yes, you know, these can be, again, you're going within 100 miles, getting close. Imagine a scenario, which is not too hard to imagine, where these jets that we have to scramble, an incident occurs. Not necessarily with the bomber attacking the jets, but if our jet, you know, had an issue and we had a pilot lose their life, or an incident occur, more routine incident occur because of a Russian provocation. That's how this becomes an incident to a level of where you've got two major nuclear powers right on the brink.
But remember, it was just last month in February, everybody, that we had the Russian spy ship sailing up and down the east coast of the United States. And I think they were, again, 20 miles off the coast of Virginia. So you've got on the east coast, we're dealing with a Russian spy ship off the coast of Virginia, up and down the east coast. I don't know if we've got a picture of that. You could actually see it from the shoreline. And then now you've got airplanes within 36 miles right there off our western coast. Of course, this is Alaska. So this is a very serious provocation, and then I agree with Jordan 100%. I think this is in response to the United States taking aggressive action against an ally of the Russians, and that is the Assad regime. Make no mistake about it. Syria is an ally of the Assad regime. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to talk about Russia. We're going to talk about Iran. More sable rattling there. So we've got a lot to talk about.
That's right. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or join us on Facebook and Periscope now.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Well, we wrote the book on this called Unholy Alliance. It's Iran and Russia. That's what we're talking about today. Why? Because Russia is literally off the coast with bombers off the coast of Alaska. I remember they made fun of Mitt Romney about that. Remember that? Oh, what could that be? Well, I'll tell you what it could be. It could be a situation where, and this is what I think it is, that the Russians are trying to, as Jordan said, cover a domestic situation, but we also attack their close ally. Let's be clear. The United States attacked Syria and the Assad regime and sent a very powerful message. And that powerful message, evidently, I'll go to our government affairs head, director of that, Than Bennett, right now. Than, I think that message has been received. What is the reaction right now among congressional offices on this?
Well, I think the reaction is very similar to what Jordan said, that this is Vladimir Putin's attempt to appease his domestic audience. It's clearly a provocation, Jay. It's clearly an attempt to show strength. But look, what concerns me, and I think what concerns many on the Hill, is what is happening simultaneously. I mean, Russia is building two nuclear power plants in Iran. And also, Jay, they are threatening to block any sanctions of the United Nations against Iran at the Security Council. Remember, they're a permanent member. So you can look at these as just provocations, but their actions in other places around the globe demonstrate that this is a conflict that's going to have to be taken very seriously.
We're going to talk about Iran coming up in the broadcast. We're talking about both of these because they are not only in the news, but this is, I mean, Secretary of State Tillerson's warning an unchecked Iran could go turn into the next North Korea. So that's kind of where this is all going. And those are all allies, at least the Iranians and the Syrians are, of course, allies of Russia.
Yeah, Christy on Facebook said, has the Russian military communicated any particular intent?
So that's a great, really great question, and that is, did the military receive a communique from the Russians? Sometimes they will send a communications if they're doing a maneuver or if they're doing what's called an exercise. From what I gather, they have not. There's been no intergovernmental communication militarily between the United States and the Russia. This is a bit of a chess game going on right now, as it was with the Russians when they were off the East Coast with their spy ships.
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen a scrambled fighter jets the first day. If you knew, you may see a AWAC flying around to surveil, but not the fighter jets.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have here. I mean, there's more to it. Understand there's a lot of geopolitical dynamics going on right now on all of this. This is not a situation where they're just doing this for fun. I mean, I think Putin's trying to handle a domestic audience, clearly, but he's also trying to send a message to President Trump. I don't think that message is going to matter much, but we will see. All right, we got a ton of phone calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110. Again, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends on radio. We encourage you to call us, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Rob, go to him. Yeah, Rob's calling in New Jersey, on line one. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Jay, thanks so much for all you guys are doing.
Sure.
Appreciate you.
Yep.
You know, it's really interesting what's happening with Russia. And just Monday, I woke up about 4:30 in the morning. And now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, Jay, but I had the most vivid dream that was, I mean, it was just amazing. And I believe I saw these Russian planes coming across our border, and it was not good. It was not good.
Well, look, at Russian aircraft within 36 miles of your border is not a dream. It's a nightmare. Okay? I mean, this is the reality. This is done for provocational purposes, at least domestically. So I'm not going to get into whether it was a dream or a nightmare, but if I'm in the military, I'm looking and saying, the Russians are doing that. This isn't insignificant. I'm having to scramble military jets the first night. The second night, I'm sending up AWACS, and if you've ever seen an AWAC, this is a giant aircraft. You want to see, for Facebook and Periscope, show them a picture of the Russian. There's our AWAC, but look what we're looking at. Okay, so there's the AWAC of what we're looking at, and this looks like something out of, I mean, this is not an airplane up there. I mean,
Cold War long-range bombers.
Yeah,
that have been converted into the Russian military. But that doesn't mean they're not significantly dangerous. This is the number two nuclear power in the world. We're the number one. They're the number two that actually has not just the arsenal but the equipment to deliver the arsenal. And you put these situations up. I always underscore that you're right on the edge of a disaster because of who these two countries are, what they represent. And, we think about this again. We're in 2017. We're still talking about the Russians.
Yep.
And their involvement in a region of the world that they were effectively cut out of since the 1980s, the beginning of the fall of the Soviet Union,
yeah,
and the loss on power. They've now reasserted themselves. And what does that mean?
But that was President Obama's vacuum.
That was. But we're having to deal with it now whether it's 8 years later, 4 years later,
yep.
We let them go to this point. And when we had to take action in Syria because we felt like the chemical weapon tech could not go without a response, you couldn't just fight ISIS there and then say, but we're going to ignore the Assad government because that's not going to fly with a lot of the Syrian people, that if you take these kind of actions, you're going to get the provocation from Russia. They have to puff their chest out. Puffing your chest out, scrambling jets, people can be in real harm's way.
Our friend General Jack Keane from Fox News made a very interesting statement. I think it's, if you want to understand the perspective here, here it is.
You got to consider the propaganda and how they approach the Russian people. They cast the United States as an aggressor that's uncontrollable. And they show themselves to the Russian people that we're attempting to control the United States' aggression. So spy ships on the East Coast, bombers, that's all part of this strategy to inform the Russian people that Russia is a world power and doing its best to promote peace and stability in the world. It's all poppycock and propaganda, to be sure.
But I think this is exactly right. But the problem is, Jordan, I want to underline and underscore Jordan said, a provocation can happen by accident. And then you end up with, World War I was started with an assassination. I mean,
it's those kind of issues. And you have
quickly can go out of control.
Two leaders, one with Putin, who, again, if you leave unchecked, they may not fly the bombers off our coast. At the same time, they will be backing governments and making financial deals. They're talking about building nuclear facilities for our enemies. And so they're willing to unite with these forces that we're trying to stop. This administration is a different view. And so you've got the Putin actions, but I do believe that the big picture here is that you take these small actions. Yep. This is not Turkey shooting down the Russian plane. If we had to get involved in a situation where you have to make that call,
tough.
That becomes very different. If one of our pilots just had a normal mechanical failure, but they're out over, the Pacific and in terrain where obviously if the incident occurs, you're not going to be able to probably rescue someone in that kind of environment. That again, it sets off a chain reaction. We forget sometimes also Russia borders North Korea.
Yep.
It's not just China, but also Russia. They're dealing with it's not just Syria. I think that was probably the beginning of this, but all of the steps we've taken post and leading up to that to stand up to these people around
Russia
the world.
Russia is feeling threatened because we're going after North Korea. They're feeling threatened because we've gone after Syria. They're feeling threatened because we are making it very clear that we're not pleased with the Iran nuclear deal. So all that's happening, and the Russians are trying to. And meanwhile, we went after the Russians' biggest ally in the region, which was Syria. I mean, that happened simultaneously. All right, let's take another comment or call at 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Heather, who is calling in Arkansas on line 4. You're on the air.
Hi, Heather.
Yes, Jay, my question is Russia doing this to prove to the world that they're going to back, you know, regimes like Syria without actually coming out and saying, hey, we're backing Syria?
Well, they're saying they're backing Syria. They consider Bashar Assad, they consider him an ally. I mean, they consider the Assad regime an ally. And I know that's hard to believe. They consider the Iranians a not trustworthy, but an ally also. So that is what's happening here.
Yeah, I mean, I think a warning for all of these countries. And you would think at this point, even these dictators, but sometimes, you know, they're now being confined to, what, a 20-mile radius or not even of their own country before he's has his head chopped off by ISIS, basically. I mean, that's what Assad is dealing with.
Right.
So he's got that issue along with his own people rising up. So they're willing to kind of get into these relationships with anyone who's willing to prop them up. The Russians will turn on any of these countries. I mean, the Russians will make a deal with Iran and then take down their nuclear system if it benefited Russian interests. I don't know why even these dictators would trust the Russians when you look at this point. You think they'd see over history, they leave. You know, they left Cuba. They will leave when it's no longer in their financial interest or in the strategic interest of the country.
Fan, I'm going to play a bite here by Secretary Tillerson, who was in Moscow last week, and this kind of sums it up. And I want to get kind of your sense. I know we've heard from a number of senators on this. Let's take a listen.
The current state of U.S.-Russia relations is at a low point. And there is a low level of trust between our two countries.
So there's no question, Fan, that that's the case. I mean, this, I think, was, again, created by the Obama administration. How are those senators on the left reacting to the fact that we are not just taking this lying down anymore and we're actually engaging, that we actually did deploy weapons against the Assad regime rather than just talk about it, that we have told the North Koreans, knock it off or our ships are going to be there? I mean, this is a very different messaging that's going out from this administration than the previous one.
I think the candid remarks by the secretary were welcomed on both sides of the aisle, Jay. Now, there are some differences of opinion on what happened in Syria with the strikes, but I think what is welcomed, again, by both sides of the aisle has been the reaction of the world. I mean, you look at Russia. They are really isolated, with the exception of Iran and maybe China. Jay, when we took those actions in Syria, the rest of the world, almost to a country, backed our actions. That's very important.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Logan will take more phone calls. Don't forget ACLJ.org for that matching challenge
That's
as well.
Right. You can give us a call, but right now phone lines are jammed at 1-800-684-3110. So log on over to social media, get your comments in that way. We'll take some of those during the breaks coming up. Again, that's at Facebook and on Periscope.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-9-9-9. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Secretary Tillerson slams the Iran nuclear deal as a failed approach, vows a comprehensive review. Meanwhile, he certified that they are, quote, technically in compliance. We'll be joined in the second half hour of the broadcast, though, with our director of policy. He's got a very interesting take on that in compliance. What does that really mean? And meanwhile, Russian bombers are flying off of Alaska 2 days in a row. This comes on the heels in February when we had a Navy, Russian naval spy ship off the east coast of the United States as well. So the Russians are kind of flexing their muscles also. All right, we got a lot of calls on this. We're going to go right to them. We'll stick on the Russian ones right now. We'll go to Iran after the break, but let's go ahead and take another call.
Sure, let's do this. Let's go to Cindy, actually, in Calling Louisiana on line three.
Hey, Cindy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Hi, everybody over there. I really appreciate everything that y'all are doing.
Thank you.
I was just saying that I was busy with my church through the Easter service season, and I didn't get to hear anything about the end result of Tillerson's visit with Putin and with his counterpart over there. So I was just wondering, was that a productive meeting?
It was a frosty meeting, I think is the way to say it. I don't think that there was agreement. I think it was both the United States, and I think the Russians were doing this too, trying to get a read on what they're dealing with. I think that was really what we had here.
It was a pre-planned meeting before the U.S. took that action. I mean, sometimes those work out, but it was kind of already on the schedule, and I think that that probably chilled it even more. The Russians, are careful not to – they're not going to use the same rhetoric as North Korea or even Iran when it gets to – even their domestic audience, they're not going to be burning U.S. flags in the street and saying they want
to,
you know
– death to America.
Bombers necessarily over major American cities. At the same time, they're backing the governments that do that. So they're backing
the regimes that put together
that propaganda, that do put those videos out. And unlike those regimes, they actually have the deliverables. We know that. I mean, they have the counterparts to our weaponry.
Here's an interesting question. We know the Russians and the Syrians got the direct link, right? We know the Russians and the Iranians have the direct link. So, and those are kind of almost like vassal states right now of the Russians. But then the question is, we're also taking aim at North Korea.
Yeah.
So what is the Russian-North Korea relationship? Because that makes an interesting counter kind of...
The refugee, So China did this a few days ago after the U.S. started talking tougher on North Korea. And then Russia, which has a smaller border, but it's a very... This is where that plane took off from, likely, in Russia, the western part of the country. You go through Siberia. That's where they have these bases that can reach Alaska. And the jets to take off. So you've got that part. They're also securing their borders. And what they're saying, which tells you about the domestic situation in North Korea, which we all know is horrendous, but they're saying that they're so worried that the U.S. action, not necessarily that the North Koreans would start attacking them, but that the flow of people
would just be
across their borders would be just
unrestricted.
Something they couldn't handle. So
yeah.
They're actually putting tanks on their borders, and so are the Chinese, because they're worried about what the fall of that government
would actually
do to impact their domestic situation.
So this brings up, Thin, I think, you know, we're going to get more into this. Obviously, when we talk about the Iran deal, we'll have you more engaged in that conversation. But I just want to follow up on this Russian thing. And then, Logan, let's get a comment or two. But Thin, from a domestic political situation, you know what I have not heard a lot of in the last week? Has anyone noticed? Russia interference with the U.S. election. Not a lot of talk about that.
Well, honestly, Jay, I think that meeting with Secretary Tillerson in Russia was probably the most important thing to do, not just from a political perspective. I think it did deliver the dynamic that you're talking about, but I think it was very important for Russia to hear from this administration just how clear they are and how firm they are, how resolute they are in holding the line on this. I think after that meeting, I think there's no justifiable cause to make that this administration is anything but firm on Russia. That was maybe the most important thing that was delivered.
Yeah. What kind of comments are we seeing? We want to grab a call, Logan. Which one?
Yeah, a lot of comments are coming in, and they're just curious about the situation in general. So this was a question that came in. I'm sorry, they move so fast, sometimes it's hard to catch up with them. This was a question, actually, that came up, and I think it's important. We took it during the break, and I think I'd like to take it during the air as well. She said, you know, Russia's alliance with Iran seems bad. They attack us through them. Is that something that they can do?
Yeah, so they are. I mean, it is something they're doing. I mean, they are using. It's called proxy wars, and this is exactly what they're doing. So they use, but then when you come to the situation where they got, you know, it's not a proxy war when you're off the East Coast with your spy ship and off the West Coast with your bombers. That's not a proxy.
Right. A comment asker came in kind of about that. That's the one I was trying to get to. Brandy said she heard somewhere. Maybe we confirm if it's true. Is Russia allowing Assad to keep his planes on Russian bases?
Yes.
To prevent the U.S. from bombing the rest of
supposedly,
the
aircraft. Supposedly, yes. I mean, that is the report out of Syria. So that makes it more difficult. I mean, there are strategic purposes that Russia has in Syria to these bases. At the same time, I just reiterate, they will keep that as long as they can. It benefits them. And it does make a strike more difficult. But if you can isolate the entire air force of a country to one military base, you realize the damage you've inflicted on that air force.
Yeah,
with those strikes. I mean,
exactly.
60 Tomahawk cruise missiles probably took out everything Syria had. And Russia again. It's the same equipment, a different flag on it. It's their equipment that is put into this country, and they haven't been willing to use missile defense to try and even stop it. Some of that is, I think, because domestically you can talk about these weapon systems. What if they don't work?
Right.
They haven't been tested. I mean, they have not been tested.
No.
And so
part of it.
If
this
they
is part
try
of the
to
docking
deploy,
that's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, we have the same issue.
Yes.
We talk a lot about missile defense. It's not something we have to use. We're not Israel. We don't have to deal with that every single day. And that's a much smaller system. I mean, we're talking about massive. So I think that there's reasons why they haven't deployed or utilized even defense weaponry that they have on the ground.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call here. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to David in Idaho on line two.
Hey, David.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, I think part of it, too, is I think Russia is still in somewhat of disbelief that anything is happening. I think for the last 8 years, they've had their feet up on a stool, and in the last 2.5 months, just got that stool kicked out from underneath them, and they fell on the floor.
No, I think you're 100% correct. I think, look, they've had 8 years of being lulled into U.S. policy, which was non-confrontive, and basically letting our enemies do whatever they want and allowed Russia to reassert itself in the region. Now you've got a new policy being implemented, and you got strong words coming out of your Secretary of State, strong words coming out of your Secretary of Defense. I mean, unapologetic in that. And we haven't even gotten into the meat of the Iran situation, and the Russians are reacting. But look, militarily, the Russians are weak. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, they're going to use their vassal states, as I call it, but they are weak. And I think we need to understand that the Russians are just that. They are weak right now. They're trying to shore up for domestic purposes. But at the end of the day, they cannot militarily take on the United States of America. There is no way they could do that.
And
no way.
Their economies are very difficult. I mean,
because the Saudis have kept the oil prices down.
We talk about the big picture and how it affects the U.S. interest. But if you go into these places, their domestic economies are either hanging on by a thread, or that thread has already been torn. And so the people are right on the edge of, again, creating instability for these strongman governments, so they try to take actions overseas.
All right. If you're joining us and you don't get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live on your local station, you can get it still many different ways. One, tell your local station to carry Jay Sekulow Live. What you can also do is join us on ACLJ.org. You can interact on Facebook and Periscope live. You get to watch us live television style broadcast. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Or you can download the ACLJ app, which is available in the App Store on Apple devices, including Apple TV. And Roku also has an ACLJ app. If you have a Roku device or Roku television, you can watch this show, our feature films, documentaries, everything we have right there absolutely free on the ACLJ app. We'll be right back with more.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
podcast, everyone. So for the second consecutive night, Russia flew two long-range bombers off the coast of Alaska, this time coming within 36 miles of the U.S. mainland off in Alaska. This comes, by the way, a month after they had a spy ship off the coast of the eastern coast of the United States. Now, you've got that going on. Now you also have Iran. Let me play for you the words of Secretary Tillerson. He is very concerned about Iran and the Iranian deal. Here's what he said.
Any discussion of Iran is
tough. Okay, well, let's get back to that in a moment. We'll reset it and get back to it in a moment. We're having a little technical problem there. But the fact of the matter is, this is important for people to understand. The United States just, quote, certified, okay, that the Iranians were in compliance. Well, next segment of the broadcast, we're going to get into what compliance means, which means nothing. But the fact is that the Secretary of State has said that this is a that Iran could quickly become the next North Korea.
Yes, and I think that that's where the discussion is, that you can put off these countries. You may be able to buy off one aspect of these bad governments, enemies of the United States, programs for, I probably have 9 years left now or 8 years left in the initial supposed agreement. But if you allow that to actually take its full course, they become one of these countries like North Korea that may not have the two parts working together. They might, you just don't know. We don't know the extent the U.S. had to go and our government potentially went to disrupt that missile test in North
right.
Korea. Our leaders have not denied it, but they haven't, confirmed it. I don't think we'll ever know. Some of that people expect, North Korea has not been very successful, but how long does that go? Till a country like Russia gets paid enough money to say, well, here it is. I mean, they don't have to develop it
anymore. Back on the Iranians. I mean, here's what the Secretary of State said. So he has ratcheted up his criticism of they're now calling, I think successfully, so the Obama-era nuclear deal with Iran, publicly confirming that the Trump administration is conducting a, quote, comprehensive review and declaring they have no intention of passing the buck. In other words, they're not going to just let them get a free ride here. Tillerson said in a brief press conference that the Iran deal fails to achieve the objectives of a non-nuclear Iran. That's the problem. So I think you have to realize when it comes to Iran, we got this horrible deal. But let's go ahead and play the sound from Secretary Tillerson. Here it is.
Any discussion of Iran is incomplete without mentioning the JCPOA. The JCPOA fails to achieve the objective of a non-nuclear Iran. It only delays their goal of becoming a nuclear state. This deal represents the same failed approach of the past that brought us to the current imminent threat we face from North Korea. The Trump administration has no intention of passing the buck to a future administration on Iran.
Which is precisely what the Obama administration did and the Clinton administration did with North Korea. So here we are.
Yeah, you come up with a deal with untrustworthy parties, they'll violate it. You may catch some violations. They do that. Yeah, they've caught violations of the deal, but they've said they're not deal breaking under the end of the Obama administration. But at a certain point, you are, as Secretary Tillerson said, as we've talked about, this deal actually, if you actually follow the deal, let's assume they do, Iran is on a path to becoming a nuclear power. The question is just timing. And so long as they are sponsoring the terrorist groups around the world, and that's why you make that comparison to North Korea, because North Korea, again, is right on the cusp. They've got the nuclear.
Yep.
They've got missiles. They just haven't been able to put the two together until a country just says, here it is. There are countries that have that. And not just the United States, not just Russia and China, Pakistan, India. There are countries where if they either, they've kidnapped people before, scientists,
sure.
they have a major program for that to try and build a deliverable nuclear device.
So with Saudi Arabia, though, understand this. So they've got strange alliances here. Saudi Arabia is working very closely with us in a checkmate on Iran. I mean, it's that serious. But then really quickly here, they also certified to Congress that they're in compliance. We'll get into that in the next segment. But tell everybody quickly what that means.
Well, it underscores what we said from the beginning, Jay, that Iran does not have to violate the deal to get a nuclear weapon. And Secretary Tillerson said that's exactly what they're doing yesterday.
Yeah, because there's nothing to, as I'm going to say in the next segment, we're joined by our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, there's nothing to comply with. I mean, this is the faux compliance. This was the Obama administration trying to get a legacy, some legacy they left us. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about Syria. We're talking about Russia. There's a lot going on also with Iran. I mean, we have a book called Unholy Alliance, by the way, that is available, coming out in paperback in June, but available in bookstores everywhere. We wrote about this before it was being talked about, and it's something we've been very concerned about. Let's go. We've got Harry Hutchison here, our director of policy, but let's grab line one first. On a Syria question.
Yep, Sig is calling in Virginia, and you're on the air.
Hey, Sig, go ahead.
Okay, about Russia. Henry Kissinger in World Order, his latest book, describes the whole history of Russia. Putin is only doing what the Tsars and the Soviets have done all yep. these centuries. And the setback was when we were leading from behind in the last 8 years, which allowed Russia to make moves which we were not going to oppose. But the big thing about Syria and Russia is that when Syria and Egypt were allied with Soviet Union,
yes.
that's when Russia was able to put their naval base in, and that is the main reason why they are there.
You're absolutely 100% correct, is that the Russians want a warm water port. And they also were cutting deals with Iran for similar reasons. But we have this Iran nuclear deal. I'm going to bring Harry right into the conversation now. Professor Hutchison, of course, is our director of policy. So we have this Iran nuclear deal left over from the Obama administration, which we had assigned. Secretary Tillerson sent off a letter. Let me get clarified on this. Than from you, what exactly did Secretary Tillerson send to Congress? This was the compliance letter?
Yeah, it was basically two paragraphs. I'm holding it right here. He was required by the agreement to certify to Congress that they are in technical compliance. But technical compliance is all they're doing, Jay.
All right. So, but my theory is, and Harry, we talked about this before, that they're complying with nothing because there's nothing to comply with.
Absolutely. So Iranian compliance is compliance with an illusion. There's very little to comply with because they've already received virtually all of the benefits under the agreement already. They've received billions of dollars. Sanctions have been removed. And they can now finance Russian expansion in the Middle East by virtue of Iranian purchases of Russian military equipment. And they've also brought Russia more deeply involved in Syria. Syria is a client state of Iran. And so, in some sense, the Obama administration has helped empower both Iran and Russia. As Charles Krauthammer famously said, under the Obama administration, Russia and Iran were pushing against an open door.
Yeah.
And so essentially we had a teenager in the White House under the Obama administration. Now we have an adult.
Harry is fired. This is a fired up Professor Hutchison today. I like compliance with an illusion. But the fact is, Jordan, that this is like this faux compliance. Your compliance with what? The JCOP? What does that even mean? We know there's not even an agreement. There's not even a written document that verifies any of this. So what are you complying with? An illusion is a good way of saying it.
Yeah, and I do believe that under, you know, previous administration, if you had a Secretary of State come out and say what Secretary Tillerson said, you'd almost sound like you're on the cusp of taking action against Iran.
Yep.
Because he talked about the threat that they pose. But there are, Than pointed this out, you're not going to get movement at the UN anymore for this because Russia can stand in the way. They can veto every move for sanctions at the UN. So you're not going to get worldwide sanctions back through on Iran, regardless of who they're backing, so long as the Russians want to align with them. And as long as they're getting paid from the Iranians, which means the money we gave them is going back to Russia to build nuclear facilities in Iran. And they're putting all of the, see, they, what they can do under this agreement and still technically be complying is put together all of the pieces so that when the agreement is finished, you've got a whole infrastructure built to create your nuclear program.
But they just haven't tied it all together.
To the mullahs in Iran is a week.
Oh,
to
yes,
Americans.
Nothing. They have no, the time is, it's a different, but they view time intergenerationally. We view time, it's like I always say, the Israelis like their wars, if they're going to have one, somewhere between 6 and 13 days. The Iranians, the Persians, they look at this intergenerationally. Logan, you had a comment?
Yeah, Roberta said, why is Russia flying so close if they're not looking to provoke?
Well, I mean, all of this that's going on right now, whether it's Iran, whether it's North Korea, Harry, whether it's Russia, is for provocation. But but you think it's more domestically oriented?
Absolutely. So I think Russia is sending a message to its domestic population, but it's also sending a message to its friends and allies that it will not be bullied by the United States. And so Russia will continue to engage in provocative behavior. We should anticipate provocative behavior by Iran as well.
I'm going to play Secretary Tillerson's bite. And do we have also one from Nikki Haley, or is that a written statement, Will?
I have a bite from her.
Yeah, our government's talking, it's speaking out very strongly on this. Here again, Secretary Tillerson on Iran.
The evidence is clear. Iran's provocative actions threaten the United States, the region, and the world. As I indicated at the beginning, the Trump administration is currently conducting a comprehensive review of our Iran policy. Once we have finalized our conclusions, we will meet the challenges Iran poses with clarity and conviction.
I want people to understand what was said there. I mean, to me, I read this, Jordan, as a administration that is reviewing the Iran deal and determining how they are going to proceed, that everything's on the table.
Yeah, I mean, what they can do, and so where the Russians are going to stand in the way of UN sanctions. The U.S. can impose new sanctions, which makes it virtually impossible for international companies, businesses, banks to do the business, even regardless, because our financial system is so tied to the entire world. And they all have, you know, banks in the U.S., in New York, and our stock market. And these are international organizations building companies, infrastructure companies. If we put in very tough sanctions, we can then use our Treasury Department to go after any of the violators,
right,
which also impacts then the Russian economy, the German economy, the European Union. There's a lot of countries benefiting right now from a Iran that is doling out the cash we gave them.
Than, are the Democrats still trying to defend the Iran deal? I mean, is that still part of their mantra?
I think they're trying to wish it away, Jay, to be honest with you. They're not talking about it to any extent. But look, people need to really understand what Jordan just said, because the U.S. sanctions is what Secretary Tillerson is clearly indicating he's bringing back. That's what he means in this letter when he says he looks forward to working with Congress on the issue. The U.N. sanctions, Jay, those are not coming back because Russia will stand in the way. That's why getting China to walk away from standing with Russia on the Syria sanctions was so important. The U.S. sanctions are coming back. The other ones are going to be a heavier lift.
Look, that was a big deal. So, Harry, this is a tough approach coming from the administration. It's a relook as it relates to, I think, a resetting both on Russia and on Iran, and certainly Syria and North Korea. But they're trying. I think the administration's trying to project also a message to our allies that we got your back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think Jordan is absolutely correct about the fact that we can initiate sanctions on Iran. But also I think we should engage in an aggressive effort aimed at Iranian allies such as Hezbollah and others, and bring pressure to bear on those groups as well.
Let me play exactly on that point. This is our UN ambassador from the United States, Nikki Haley, on exactly that point.
If we are speaking honestly about conflict in the Middle East, we need to start with the chief culprit, Iran and its partner militia, Hezbollah. Iran and Hezbollah conspire together to destabilize the Middle East, and their actions are expanding. For decades, they have committed terrorist acts across the region.
So Hezbollah to the north of Israel, Hamas to the west of Israel. This is what you're dealing with. And I think Nikki Haley, by the way, has done a phenomenal job. I mean, she has really done a great job on this. But this is the truth. This is the reality of what you've got. So you've got an emboldened. And who's allowing Iran to be emboldened? Let's remember this. It is the Russians. That's where the emboldening power is coming from. And the North Koreans, to some extent, too, are happy to trade with them as well. I mean, they're both in that danger zone. Don't you think, Harry?
Absolutely. But to go back to an earlier point, the United States should also make sure that it strengthens its primary ally in the Middle East, Israel, and also work with moderate Arab states to, in some sense, checkmate Iran and Russia.
Here's the question. Is Jordan, from a political standpoint right now, we've got a lot of good language coming out of the White House, strong language coming out of that, but is there the political will behind it to with Iran? I mean, what do you do with Iran?
Some of this can be done unilaterally via, you know, the executive branch of the U.S. government. I mean, they report to Congress on this, but they don't have to get congressional approval on this. This is just a report that had to go to Congress. We've already seen the actions in Syria. I don't think that they've necessarily come to a final decision, but it is resetting the terms for all these countries. So with Syria, it's not that the U.S. wanted to have to launch Tomahawk missiles. It's not like they were gunning for it more of a conflict. But they decided, if you go this far, we're going to take action. That's impacted Russia. And now they're saying with Iran, Donald Trump talked about this. All the other Republican candidates do. They all oppose the deal.
Right.
The question was how to start undoing it at the beginning of your presidency. And I think that's what Secretary Tillerson is laying the groundwork for, is the beginning of the undoing as much as possible.
Yep.
We do have a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today, 1-800-684-3110, as we head into this next segment.
Compliance with an illusion, Professor Hutchison said. I think that should be an article, because that's what you're dealing with. So when we have to say Iran's in compliance with what? That's the real question. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
For those on radio, you don't get to hear our chatter during the breaks here, but you do on Facebook and Periscope. But Logan just raised a really good question, and I want everybody to I want to respond, and then we'll get to the calls.
Jennifer said on Facebook, she said, how should the U.S. respond to Russia's provocation?
So we said that our Facebook and Periscope, you heard this, but I want our radio audience to hear this. So how do you respond to the provocation? I want Harry to go first, then Jordan.
Well, first, the Trump administration needs to remain firmly engaged in the Middle East. The Trump administration needs to respond directly to every provocation and to send a signal that every provocation will be met by a response. The Obama administration would just send a wink and a nod and basically allow U.S. troops to be humiliated, at least in some cases, without responding. And we should also consider, where appropriate, the reinstitution of sanctions both on Russia and Iran.
Jordan, you had a pretty strong word, too.
Well, I think that the Russians are playing with fire because they are used to the Obama administration and a more conventional, even going back further, Bush administration when it comes to these provocation issues and how far you go. I think with this administration, I mean, taking down the plane, if it got a little bit closer, is not totally outside of the scope of what is a possibility because of the change. We saw, and I say that because we saw the impact an attack in Syria.
Yep.
These attacks have happened before President Trump was the actual commander-in-chief.
Right.
He had a very different policy about engaging these situations as a campaign. He didn't say never, but it was more of a, we don't want to be the world's policeman. But there are points where if you're engaging already in Syria, which we were, and against the battle against ISIS, and then another party in that region uses chemical weapons. You have a boat there. You have the missiles there.
Yep.
These are all steps, and we all know who it's tied to. It's a Russian planes that were delivering that chemical weapon on a base that was shared with the Russian military.
Pretty direct.
We told them if it comes out that they had no indication whatsoever that these planes were getting so close, maybe the next time you have to strike Syria, you don't tell the Russians, and there's some unintended consequences of that strike.
All right, or not.
Let's go ahead and call. Yep. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling in California on line 5. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Good. You know, the Russians did this with Reagan in the Cold War.
Yep. And Reagan was tough, and he responded back, and the ended up was the fall of the Soviet Union. So I think you're seeing that kind of policy perspective right now coming out of the administration. I don't think there's any question about it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Let's go ahead and Let's go ahead and keep going. Let's go to Cindy in California on line 4. Cindy, you're on Jay Psycho Live.
Hey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay.
Sure. Go, Cindy.
I'm not sure how this applies, but I'm thinking that the Russians are doing a pushback on our pushback to see if Trump is willing to uphold that red line in the sand that Obama didn't uphold.
Well, I think their test is going to fail. And I think this president has already shown he's willing to take weapons and Tomahawk missiles and deliver them to the Syrian president of Syria. And guess what happened? That was a Russian vassal state. That's a Russian ally. And they got a strong message. No question about it. We got a little bit of breaking news following up what we talked about during the breaks.
We haven't talked about this on the regular part of the broadcast, but for our Facebook and Periscope audience, we talked about healthcare potentially coming back with this Congress before they have to pass their final budget solution, whether it's for a few months or a year, continuing resolution. But the White House, and this is breaking just now, is pressing for a vote next week. So, I mean, and next week is a few days away on healthcare again. Now, we saw this kind of pressure once.
It didn't work.
Where the White House has kind of said, no, we're not just talking about this as maybe we get there, but now they're saying, again, putting down another marker.
This is just breaking right now. We did talk a little bit about this during our breaks, but for our radio audience, we didn't want to bring it to you until we had more information. We just got the more information. We got a breaking news alert, and that is that the White House wants a vote next week. Than, going quickly to you on this, obviously a little bit of change of gears here, on the healthcare rollout with the Planned Parenthood defunding and all that in there. In the break, you talked about where the groups were. You said the Tuesday group and the Freedom Caucus are now very seriously meeting on this.
They've been meeting, Jay, and this is not terribly surprising. This is actually what I was alluding to in the break. This deal has been very close. It centers around a state option to get waivers from some of the Title I regulations under Obamacare. Jay, if they have the 216 votes, I think that vote would happen next week.
Wow.
And all indications from yesterday, the meetings that I had, they were within just a handful of votes. So,
that
yeah.
would be a comeback. I mean, that would be a political comeback for the administration. I mean, in a very, very significant way. And I, as we also talked about in the break, it would get through the Senate. It may take the vote of Mike Pence to get it through the Senate, but I think it probably does. That would be very, very big. All right, you want to take the rest of the calls if we can?
Sure, we'll take we'll do as many Let's as we go can. To Julie in North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hey, Julie, go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
My question is, since the agreement was made between the former President Obama and Iran,
yep.
and there's nothing signed, can President Trump reinstate those sanctions?
The problem is the rest of the world has moved on to do business with Iran. That's really the problem here.
Yeah, Russia to a larger extent, China to an extent, but also the European Union countries.
They're doing business.
They do much more business with Iran than the U.S. would ever directly do. It's just not necessarily worth it for us. The oil is a different issue. A lot of that still has some of that has sanctions against it about where it goes, but it's kind of like part one, it goes through one country, and then part two, it ends up in our to our domestic, potentially domestic consumption, but at least our allies' domestic consumption.
So, Harry, from your perspective, following up what Jordan said, from your perspective, because it was a great question on the rollback, but that's not it's more of a strategic reevaluation of what we're going to do with this.
Absolutely. So if you think about it carefully, the Iran nuclear deal actually helps Iran accelerate its nuclear program.
Yeah.
It provides them with finances.
And cover.
So it's more difficult to cut that back. And the Trump administration has its hands full in restructuring the deal.
Yeah. But what you could deal from strength, though, if the Iranians are thinking they just dropped bombs in Syria.
Absolutely.
That makes a big difference, yeah.
And certainly you could follow the Reagan pattern as opposed to the Obama pattern. The Obama pattern is to talk your opposition essentially to death, and it hasn't worked very effectively.
All right, I'm going to try my best, Logan.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Michael on line 6.
Michael, go ahead, quickly.
Hey, thanks for taking my
call.
I was just wondering if you think this whole thing by the Russians is a distraction while they mobilize ground troops to meet us on the ground in Iran.
No, because I don't think they want to meet the United States ground troops in Iran. That would be not good for the Iranians and would not be good for the Russians. Guess who wins that one? We do. And it's that simple.
Yeah, that's
that's not a war they win.
That's when they pull, again, that's what
they
I said.
That
these countries, they are not, whereas we are still in Korea, we are still in Japan.
Right.
And we just actually put up a plane in over North Korea just now to test for nuclear. So that's happening also as we speak.
Right. So there's
a lot of provocations going on. We stay, though. Russia leaves.
Yep, that's
they
exactly
left
right.
Afghanistan. They left the Middle East. They left Cuba behind. They left the North Koreans behind. They left the Chinese behind.
Yep. All right, let's grab this last call.
All right, Scott in Colorado.
Scott, you're on. Last caller.
Okay, great, guys. Here, my question's real quick. How long with such worldview differences between Russia and Iran, how long do you think that kind of alliance could last?
I'll give you my 10-second version, and I'll let Jordan and Harry quickly. It'll last as long as it's serving the Russians' interests. Once it doesn't, they drop it like a hot potato.
Yeah, but to an extent, I mean, they will fight for it, though. They're not going to they don't give it up because of the money, the benefit they want. I mean, the port in Syria is probably more important, and because Syria is a proxy to Iran. That's the most important, and that's when they probably are willing to shed some blood over.
I think Jordan is absolutely correct. I think Syria is the capstone of the Russian involvement in the Middle East.
All right, that does it, Logan.
All right, you can find us on ACLJ.org. All the information there on social media and the ACLJ app. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.